This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Hey, welcome back in. 1:34. Hope your Thursdays are going well. We got some NBA lists to get to coming up here in a little bit. Potential rule change in the NFL that I'm kind of intrigued by. And we'll spring the line in 1 hour. So get your fake sponsors in. 55305 is the fan text line. But some news out of Columbus today, and we always have our eye on them, considering the Oregon and Ohio State matchup that is supposed to be early next football season. Joining us now to talk about that and more, Steve Hellwagon. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Steve Hellwagon. Bucknuts.com of 24/7 Sports. Steve,
I love that name.
It's a great website. Thanks, as always, for the time, man. We love chatting Buckeye football with you. For those who have kind of missed the headline or what Gene Smith came out and said today, what are they considering doing for football games next fall, and then how are the people in the Ohio area feeling about it?
Well, it is very early in the consideration. Obviously, we're all going through the same thing in different degrees, depending on what part of the country you're in. Our state has been on a shelter-in-place order from the governor since mid-March, and he was one of the first who was very proactive to the point where I think people have finally rebelled to where they want to get back to where life is somewhat normal again. And Ohio State, you know, is going to be able to bring back, in the Big Ten and the NCAA have obviously decreed this, going to bring back athletes in June for on-campus workouts. But as part of the press conference or the teleconference yesterday, Gene Smith, the athletic director, said that they are preparing for the possibility that there would be social distancing at Ohio Stadium where the Buckeyes play, ordinarily capacity of 105,000 people, thinks that they could be able to do 20 to 30,000 people for a game using the proper social distancing protocols within the seating area, on the concourse, in the bathrooms, etc. So a lot of thoughts going into it. But again, I caution you, it is whatever day it is, May 21st,
right. And
they play their first game there, supposedly, September the 4th or 5th, whatever that Saturday is. And so there's still a long way to go, but no decisions made on who would get tickets and who would not at this early stage, but just finally kind of letting everybody in Buckeye Nation know that if there is a season this year, if they're able to have it, it could be contested with fewer than the normal number of people in the stadium.
Well, I think that's good news for Buckeye fans, and who knows what their ticket situation is going to be. But I do want to ask you this, because we talked about this a little bit on the phone right before our show today, Steve, and I'd love for you to kind of walk our listeners through it too. So the home and home with Oregon starts this year, supposed to be in Eugene. Right now, and again, as you mentioned, it's May 21st. Who knows what happens in 3 months? Right now, we're not going to have any fans. It's going to be just a football team if we can have a season in the Pac-12. What would the scenario be if we can't have fans in Eugene? Do you think there'd be any conversation about switching the home and home where it goes to Ohio State first, maybe Oregon the next year when we could have fans out here? What's kind of just your general thoughts on that? Because I know we talked about that prior to the show.
Yeah, there's various reasons why that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense from the Ohio State standpoint. I guess, contracts are written however they're written, and whether they're going to play that game or not, you know, probably still up in the air. I don't know, because you hear some models talking about there just being conference games this year, 9 or 10 or whatever it may be. But in Gene Smith's way of thinking, it doesn't make a lot of sense. If Ohio State can't have 105,000 people in Columbus and would be restricted to only 20 or 30,000 people, why would they agree to play Oregon in Columbus this year and then potentially go back to Oregon next year when they could have whatever the stadium holds, 60 or 70,000 people, mm-hmm. a full house? It doesn't make any sense. So from a competitive standpoint or any other way, I guess. So now I know the contract's written that this year's game is in Oregon and next year's game's at Ohio State, and perhaps Oregon pursues getting out of the contract for this year and pushing the game to a future date when it can have a full stadium. Maybe they'll still have a full stadium. Right. We don't know. As we said, it's still early in the whole process. But I think what they're hoping and they're striving for is that it is as normal a college football season as it can possibly be. And perspective is something I think that gets completely lost when we cross over into college football and rivalries, because all we're going to hear is what was the most balanced and competitive way to pick the teams for the playoff. And that's all people are going to worry about. And this whole year, if it hasn't taught us anything, is that life is much more important than just college football. I almost said stupid college football, but right. You guys understand where I'm coming from. Yeah. Is that let's all thank God if there will be a season.
Yeah.
And then, you know, yeah, somebody's going to get jobbed on the selections because one team plays 11 games and one team played 10 and they couldn't get the 11th team to play them and it hurt their ranking or whatever. You know, save that stuff for somebody else, because I'm not going to be interested in hearing any of that. It's just give me the best four teams and that's what it'll be. You know, we're jumping way ahead, you know, making assumptions who could be in that mix, but you get the idea, is that if we have a season in some form, that's what we need to celebrate and not worry about the details. The guys like Gene Smith and the athletic director at Oregon, the conference commissioners, the TV people, and everybody are going to do the best that they can possibly do to preserve the sport in 2020. And there is so much on the line. You talk about scholarship money for the track people and the baseball people and everybody mm-hmm. else. If they don't have football, the coaches can't get paid the millions of dollars. The athletic directors can't get paid their $1 million. And none of the kids can have their scholarships. So there is so much more afoot here in trying to save this thing and not worry so much about the format as just the idea that we could save the season.
Yeah, Steve Hellwagon is our guest, 24/7 Sports, bucknuts.com. The point is so valid, too. This is a long ways off, and people are just speculating about what things will look like in August or September. I am curious to ask you, though, because we've seen a couple of these models come out. I think the Dolphins came out with one of how they would space out fans and how you would get into the arena and all that kind of stuff. And we've had conversations with Oregon and Oregon State fan. It's about, like, do you feel comfortable if there are fans allowed? Would you go? That kind of stuff. I know it's a snapshot, maybe just on Twitter or whatever, but just what are you hearing from Buckeye fans about the idea of, do they feel comfortable? Like, if it's 20 or 30,000 people, there are a lot of fans saying, hell yeah, we're ready to go, and we feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah, I think it's a mix. Today is actually the very first day that restaurants can be open for indoor customers, and I actually went and had lunch with a friend of mine at an indoor restaurant. Mm-hmm. Last week, you could go and have lunch on a patio, and that wouldn't be possible here today because it's 50 and blowing rain. but you get the idea that we are gradually taking one step at a time, and it's your comfortability level. And, you know, wearing masks and taking precautions. And there are some people with health risks who will not want to take that risk and be surrounded by thousands of people, any one of whom could infect them at any time. So that, you know, they may have tickets for 40 years and they may not go this year just because of that. And it's unfortunate, sad. But again, I think the bigger picture is that they're going to do everything they can to preserve this season any way they can. And we all are just going to have to roll with the punches for hopefully just this one year. And hopefully, you know, that there'll be some kind of progress made with this thing to where it won't even look all that much different this year. So yeah. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Steve, I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer. I'm trying to stay optimistic like everybody else. And I'm with you in the camp of just give us a season. I'm not going to be picky. I just want to play. If they have to wait till January, which is one of the scenarios that's been laid out here, if they have to wait till January to play college football so all the Power Five can play, it's going to be a weird calendar situation because guys like Justin Fields, et cetera, might want to leave and get ready for the NFL. I don't know if you have an answer to this, but is there a scenario there where Oregon could play Ohio State and Justin Fields declares for the NFL draft and he doesn't wait till January to want to play?
Yeah, I think that is a possibility. I don't hear a lot of groundswell for that. I think they want to play it as scheduled in the fall. One, because as you say, the marketable stars aren't going to want to play and risk their draft status in the calendar year of 2021. If they can play this year and put themselves out there and show what they can do and up their draft stock, then so be it. But, you know, I think commodities that are projected as first-round picks next year aren't going to want to risk that. So I would agree with you. And the other thing, you know, I told you it's 50 and blowing rain here today. What do you think it would be like here if they tried to have a home game on January the 8th?
Snow football, come on.
Depending. I mean, we don't get as much snow here in Central Ohio as they do in Cleveland. They might get a foot. You know, they're 2 hours away up the interstate where we'll get a dusting. But we could still have snow on the ground and 20-degree temperatures for a group of home games in January. So I don't – you want to see 20,000 people in the stands. Try and do that.
Great stuff. Steve Hellwagon, bucknuts.com, 24/7 sports. Go give him a follow on Twitter, at Steve Hellwagon. Big news out of Ohio State today. Kicking around the idea of 20,000 to 30,000 fans potentially in the stadium early next year. Steve, thanks as always, man. It was great catching up, and I'm sure we'll be in touch with you as we get closer to a maybe fanless Oregon and Ohio State game in September.
Yeah, I'm hoping to come. Never been to Oregon. Looking forward to it if it comes off. So
there you go.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks, Steve. Great stuff from Steve Hellwagon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.